I trust you brought your Bible tonight. If you turn with me to Romans chapter number 16, the book of Romans chapter number 16. Book of Romans chapter 16. I want to read these 27 verses, and hopefully I can pronounce most of the names that are here. It begins in verse 1, I commend you, or unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Apintus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of those who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Tacius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Plygon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia and Nereus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you. Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Cordus, his brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, make known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening. We can gather here in this place. We pray that you might work and bless in our hearts and lives tonight. We pray that, Spirit of God, you would move upon us, that our spirit, our soul might be touched, and that we might be challenged from above with whatever needs to be accomplished in our lives. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. One of the greatest basketball players of all time, in my mind, was a man by the name of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had tremendous athleticism. He was also able to make decisions very quickly and make good decisions at that. His work ethic was probably or perhaps the best of any player I have ever heard of. When in a slump, he would just keep on shooting to regain the edge rather than shy away in defeat. But what is considered by some as his greatest accomplishment is to make those about him better players. He built his own private gym and would have team members come over and practice with him before the team practices. And thus he sought to build up those about him. Romans chapter 16 is a listing of those team members that helped make the Apostle Paul who he was. Three times he calls out those that were helpers. In verse number 2, he says, "First, she hath been a succorer," which is basically a helper of many. In verse number 3, it says, talking about Priscilla and Aquila, "my helpers in Christ Jesus." Verse number 9, it talks about "salute Urbane, our helper in Christ." Two times he mentions those that labored. Of course, they all did, but he made special note of that. And verse number 6, "greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." And then he says in verse 12, "salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord." And then numerous times he speaks of those that were what I would describe as great encouragers. You know what people seem to forget is that everybody can't be on the first team. In fact, without a good second team, the first team will not improve as they could. One of the things you want to do is try to get around those folks who are perhaps even better than you, that it might hone your skills and make you a better player. It doesn't matter if it's basketball, football, baseball, it really doesn't matter. It's just a principle that is there. And a team that has a good second team has somebody to practice with them and improve their lives. If it weren't for these people in this chapter, whom I would call perhaps the second team, and many others, there wouldn't have been any increase. When you get to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says this, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" And then he says this, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that waters, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry, you're God's building. You see, it doesn't matter if you're on first team or second team. What matters is who your coach is. What matters is who you are playing for. Now, there's another group of folks that's not mentioned in this chapter, and I would have to put it on the negative side, and that is those who quit, quitters. And quitters never become helpful to others. It just does not happen. I look back with really some regret in my sophomore year. I loved playing basketball. I had it in grade school. I had it in high school and freshman year. But in my sophomore year, there was some guys that were better than me, and I was getting put on the second team. And I didn't like the coach too well, I think because he put me on second team. And I ended up quitting. What the senior high coach told me was, in another couple years, there won't be anybody that can stop you. Well, there was, but anyway, that's what he told me. And so I quit, and I've regretted that to some degree. We look in the Word of God, and we find that there were some quitters. In the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." John Mark left Paul and Silas. Can you believe that? We also read about Demas, and no doubt you remember this verse in 2 Timothy 4:10, where it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." We find also the Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion, many disciples, they went back. It says in John 6:66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." One of the things we find about the quitters is they had a common trait. And I believe we can find that in the verses preceding this in John. and that is they're complainers. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And we find that to be so true. There's another group of folks that are not helpful, and they are what I would describe as disobedient. We go back in the Old Testament, we read about a couple of folks that did not follow the right rule. We look at a man by the name of Korah. You remember the gainsayings of Korah? He was seeking to gain by saying. And so we read this story back in Numbers 16. It says, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. They had a problem too. They were complaining. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And we find it says, and he spake unto Korah to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense to them before the Lord tomorrow. It shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. We don't read too much farther, and we find that as they gathered together, the earth opened up and swallowed them in a great earthquake. So we find these who were disobedient to the leadership God had given to them. I look at another fellow. His name was Gehazi. He was in the Elijah-Elisha line. Elijah, we find, had Elisha as his really his understudy, and he took over for him basically. Elisha, I think, was training Gehazi, but we find that something took place, and riches stole his heart, and he was unable to be of any help. God has called more to be helpers than leaders. Did you ever think about that? If all were fathers, there would be no families. If they were all pastors, there would be no churches. If all were quarterbacks, there would be no teams. And what takes place many times is some get jealous if they aren't on the first team, but in reality, they're in a great position to do something that is tremendous, and that is to be an edifier or builder of the first team, like these that we read about in Romans chapter number 16. God has ordained the church for three great purposes. One is to evangelize, another is to educate, and the third is to edify. Now, the word edify means to build up. No doubt some of you came tonight and you're discouraged. No doubt some of you are tired and who knows what all, and you come to church and you're hoping to get a lift. And certainly that, we hope, takes place in your life. We notice something, and that is all are to have a part in each. God wants to use all of us in those. Now, God ordains leadership. Without followership, there wouldn't be the means to carry out the church's calling. But not all can be that. And so we find that there are those who are in this other spot, and they can be tremendous in their help to the Lord. Of those listed in this chapter, some are to be greeted, some are to be saluted, and we find in verse number 2, one is to be received. And that one that's to be received is Phoebe. And we don't know this woman's business, but they were asked to assist her and to be a help to her. Now, I think about this word edify, and I think about these people who no doubt were those who helped to edify the Apostle Paul. How would you like to have been in jail as much as he was for his faith? How would you have liked to withstood all the negativity that came his direction because he preached Christ? And so there was a lot of conflict that he faced, and yet there were these who brought to him edification or a building up. How can we be better in edifying? Don't you love to walk into a room and somebody just causes you to light up? Don't you like to, when somebody speaks to you, you really feel good about speaking to them? Yeah. How can we be better in edification? How can we do that? I got four things tonight I'd like to share with you. And there are four things that really has come out of my heart. Number one, get rid of any judgmental spirit that we might have. You get rid of the judgmental spirit. There's something interesting, 1 Corinthians 8:1. It says, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. There's always one or two in a church who seem to think that they know it all. And it's their duty to keep everybody else straight. Knowledge puffeth up. There are some Bible scholars, I put that in quotation, who know a lot of facts and information about the Word of God, and yet they reflect an arrogant and critical spirit toward others. Brethren, love edifieth, love buildeth up. Knowledge puffs up. That means it causes pride. Love edifies, and so we need to have the right kind of spirit. How do we get rid of a judgmental spirit? Love people. Love people. Love them for who they are. By the way, have you ever met a perfect person outside of Christ? Everybody you come into contact has problems. And the problem is, oftentimes, we know many of those problems they have. But we're so thankful we don't have hardly any of those problems. But oh, when they get around and they see us, they think the same thing we think. You ever stop and think about that? And so here we are. Get rid of any judgmental spirit that we might have. If we're going to edify, if we're going to build people up, it's not going to work if we're just constantly, constantly judging. Now, we have to make judgments about situations. I understand that. But it's not a spirit of whereby we have this, what I call a bad attitude toward people. Number two, cooperating instead of competing against one another. Cooperating instead of competing. Here we go back to first team and second team. What happens when they cooperate? In other words, they can be of help to each other. They can be that which lifts up the other. And that is a very big need. How can we edify? Well, understand, we're not in competition with anybody. We're not trying to show up anybody. We're trying to build up somebody. Number three, be a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block to others. What's a stepping stone? Let's say you're going to cross over a mud puddle and there happens to be a rock in the middle of that thing and you reach out and you put your foot on that and then go to the other side. You had a stepping stone. And thus it kept you from getting wet or muddy or whatever. A stumbling block is something that gets in your way, and what happens? You kick your toe against it, and you fall down. What does God want us to be? I believe stepping stones instead of stumbling block to others. Stop and inspect our lives. Are we helping people to go forward, or do we cause them to stumble? And then lastly, I would say this. How can we be better edifiers? Get rid of a judgmental spirit. Cooperate instead of compete. Be a stepping stone. And lastly, show consideration for the weaknesses of others. Show consideration for the weaknesses of others. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has weaknesses. And you don't need me, and I don't need you zeroing in on those and just harping our fool heads off about it. By the way, it doesn't help. You need to be considerate of those. I'm not sure what the word destruction means, but when you put the word DES in front of it, or DE, it's deconstruction. What is that? Tearing it apart. Put a CON and it's construction, it's building. If we're going to see improvement in lives, we know their weaknesses, but we have to build on their strengths. We can know somebody's weakness, but we need to build on their strengths. The problem is, we're too busy looking at the weaknesses, we don't even know what their strengths are. We're too busy criticizing sometimes the weaknesses rather than looking and seeing what somebody has that we might be a help to build in their life. Show consideration for the weaknesses of others. We all have weaknesses. You do, I do. And thank God for those who show consideration for it. Amen. And so four things I think about. How can we be better edifiers? Get rid of any judgmental spirit we might have. Cooperate instead of compete against one another. Be a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block to others. And then show consideration for the weakness of others. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this privilege to gather together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for Thus Saith the Lord. Thank you for this chapter that shows us all these people and how they really work together and how they, in many regards, made the Apostle Paul who he was. And as he writes this, it seems as though he's considering all of that and so thankful for it. Our Father, we pray that you might continue to bless us here and help us to go forward for the cause of Christ. Bless the next couple of minutes as we consider missionaries. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.